This year marks a decade of military intervention in Afghanistan. Can you speak generally to the last 10 years of combat?
From the beginning, Échec à la guerre, which started in the fall of 2002, was opposed to the war in Afghanistan. We were first set up to oppose the imminence of the war in Iraq, but after that war was, I would say, victorious on the part of the United States, to some extent, initial victory, quote unquote, we started focusing more on Afghanistan, on Canada's role in Afghanistan. Canada had stepped up its involvement in Afghanistan to allow the U.S. to put more troops into Iraq, and because the population of Quebec and Canada was very opposed to any participation in the aggression against Iraq. But the war in Afghanistan was sort of under the radar, and the population was not very mobilized around that war. So Échec à la guerre took that up and organized a number of activities, demonstrations and rallies and some conferences on the war. We're opposed to this war from day one. Many people who are members of Échec à la guerre participated in demonstrations 10 years ago against that war also. And we've produced a number of documents about the involvement of Canada, how this contravenes international law, the very close military ties between Canada and the U.S., which are on the increase at the level of the equipment, of the training, and basically of decision-making also, because it seems now that when the U.S. decides to go on with a war, Canada is basically alongside as one of the units of the U.S. Army, more or less.
Polls consistently show that Americans and French citizens lack confidence that the war will come to a conclusion and a massive drain on the economy. Canadians appear to be sharply divided about our military role in Afghanistan. Why, according to you, do Canada, the U.S. and France still have troops in Afghanistan?
You say that the population is sharply divided. It is divided, but the majority of the population is against intervention in Afghanistan. In Canada, it's roughly around 60% of the people. It's been that way for a few years now, and in Quebec, it's up to 75-78% of the people in opposition. Actually, basically all NATO countries that were participating in that war were doing so against the will of their population. That was also true in France, in Germany, in Italy, in Spain, in the United Kingdom. And now, recently, even the U.S. population is more against the war than in favor. Of course, there is division, but when you see that consistently the majority of the population is opposed to that, and that represents quite a lot of expenses in terms of lives and in terms of money, it's obvious for us that this is a totally anti-democratic decision on the part of our government. And it's also on the part of the Parliament of Canada, because there were votes in the Parliament, and up till recently, the most important opposition party was the Liberal Party, and they were also in favor of the war in Afghanistan. They still are in favor, but they lost a lot of seats. So there is sharp division, yes, but democracy would have it that we should be pulling out of Afghanistan and should have done so a long time ago, and we haven't.
Why politicians decide to stay over there?
I think this is basically in the interests of the leading sectors of the economy. Basically, you've had the Canadian Council of Business Executives that's been advocating closer ties with the U.S. Militarily for several years. They've produced a number of documents on this. Their current president is someone who headed a special commission that recommended to continue the involvement of Canada in Afghanistan. It corresponds to economic interest. There's immediate economic interest in the sense that we have a fairly significant military sector. We provide weapons to the U.S., ammunition, etc. But most importantly, the economy of Canada and the U.S. are very, very integrated. The largest economic sectors in Canada are energy sectors and mining sectors. These are sectors that operate around the world and that need to have stability around their interests elsewhere in the world. So the decision was made I would say at least 7-8 years ago that Canada's sovereignty in terms of foreign policy was something that we could negotiate in return for more penetration of the U.S. markets and more collaboration with, you know, U.S. business. So there's no polls on this. Canadians are not consulted over these issues. But in the higher spheres of the economy, it seems to be the decision that was made.
Frequently used arguments for keeping troops in Afghanistan or for the consolidation of peace, democracy and prosperity in Afghanistan and preventing the country from falling into a state of chaos. How do you respond to these arguments?
Wars are always conducted for supposedly good reasons, to protect civilian populations that are in danger, to prevent chaos from happening in a country, etc., etc. Basically, we're not there for democracy. The people that we are supporting in power are very corrupt, no transparency in their way of governing. Not much difference between them and the Taliban in regard to women's rights, in regards to democratic rights. Torture is prevailing in Afghan prisons, and there's no big problem with that, according to our military. We can't even get an investigation seriously in Canada about the role that we played in transferring prisoners and how they were tortured by the Afghan authorities. Women's rights have had some minor advancements in Afghanistan, mostly in some law texts that were passed in the parliament that not necessarily very much, not much to show for them on the ground. In terms of education, in Kabul, perhaps in a few other areas, there's more girls that are going to school, but that tends to be about it. I mean, in the countryside, there's not much difference between how women were treated before, how they are treated now. It's been 10 years now that this reversal has happened in Afghanistan, and there's not much to show for it. Under USSR occupation previously, we don't favor any occupation, but still good to do a comparison. Women were going to school much, much, much more. This is where some of the women now that are in government in Afghanistan come from. They were educated under, you know, that regime. Still, Afghans did not want USSR presence in their country, and they don't want foreign presence in their country. There's always a part of the population that collaborates with occupiers. That always happens. But that doesn't mean that it's legitimate. And basically, I would say the vast majority of Afghans would probably hope for the occupiers to go. That wouldn't solve all their problems by far. They still have a whole lot of struggles to wage. But the foreign presence is not in their interest. The foreign presence has everything to do with control of the territory, of the resources, of pipelines going through Afghanistan towards India and Pakistan, and hopefully being controlled by U.S. and Canada and countries of the West. So the war is for economic reasons, strategic reasons, getting closer and closer to Russia, to China, mm-hmm. controlling their access to resources. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with democracy and women's rights and good governance.
Prime Minister Stephen Harper states this country does not represent a geostrategic risk to the world. It's no longer a source of global terrorism. How do you respond to this statement?
The U.S. is also trying to find some reason to pull out of Afghanistan because they've managed to, supposedly, they've managed to kill bin Laden. This statement from Harper could have come years ago, could have come even before we deployed our troops into Kandahar, because the training camps of al-Qaeda in Afghanistan were destroyed at the very beginning of the war. After that, there were no terrorist operations started from Afghanistan in other countries. That's not how it happened. Even the World Trade Center, most of the people trained as pilot in the U.S., some of the discussions before that terrorist attack were led in Germany. You can't possibly bomb all countries where there were some preparations. The U.S. would have to bomb itself, to bomb allied countries. So this is preposterous. And we think certainly that terrorism represents some level of danger in Western countries. But the fundamental reasons why this terrorism exists is because of our imperialist presence in other countries. People don't hate us because they don't like democracy. Generally, they don't care how we live. They don't want us to start imposing on them ways of living or to take their resources or to decide who's going to govern their countries, as we do with Afghanistan. Certainly, there's elections, but there's massive fraud in those elections. Mm-hmm. And the president there is someone that was previously a consultant for some U.S. Energy companies, UNOCAL, who was sold to Chevron right now. So Hamid Karzai is basically, first, was a U.S. puppet, and he gets more and more independence because he wants to stay at the head of his country, and the foreign occupation is very, very unpopular. So if he looks like he's collaborating too much with Western countries, he's going to be kicked out even faster. Mm-hmm. I think the Afghan people gave him a chance at the beginning, the first presidential election after the invasion. There was large participation, and he got quite a lot of vote. So I guess the Afghan population decided, okay, let's try this. But now he has to organize massive fraud to stay in power. And we see also that more and more the opposition forces are able to lead all kinds of operations to kill the governor of Kandahar, to kill the mayor, to free hundreds of prisoners from the prison in Kandahar. They recently shot down a helicopter where there were not only three dozen U.S. soldiers, but they were actually, many of them were part of the team that had supposedly killed bin Laden. So they're able to lead quite specific operations with success. So that's not an indication that they're less and less influential. That's an indication that they have more and more capacity and influence. So after 10 years, we haven't achieved much militarily, and the population is not willing to have us there.
You talk about bin Laden. He was killed a few months ago. Do you think this turning point could mark the end of this war?
I don't think so. It can be used as an excuse for the U.S. to say we don't have any more serious reason to stay, we're going to pull out. But these operations are not necessarily planned by a single person. I think there are many terrorist units here, there, and everywhere. Actually, terrorism is not as much prevalent as it was in the past. I mean, we had terrorist groups in Quebec. There were terrorist groups in the U.S., in France, in Italy before. They weren't even from other countries. Right now, I think it has more to do with the deployment of U.S. imperialism in the world. With the fall of the USSR, they've decided to penetrate more eastern countries. So that's Eastern Europe, that's the Middle East, that's Southern Asia. So they're going into these areas, and those populations are responding to that. We don't support terrorism. We understand why it's happening. We certainly don't support it. But if we stopped our domination over these countries or attempt to dominate these countries, they would have no ground to recruit or no reason to do these kinds of operations.
A progressive withdrawal has been announced by the U.S., France and Canada. What do you see as the best route to exciting the country?
Well, from the beginning, we've always thought that we should pull out of Afghanistan, not have a long strategy to get out. We don't have the solution to other people's problems. We hardly have solutions to our own problems. So we should focus on our own problems, prevent interventions from Canada that are not in the interests of other people. Change Canadian foreign aid, for example, which is very much geared towards our own interests. When we loan money, they have to buy Canadian goods, they have to pay Canadian experts. In the end, there's almost nothing for them on the ground. So if we want to help other countries, we should go more in that direction. In terms of pulling out, we think it should be immediate withdrawal. It's not going to be, but that's definitely what we're calling for.